Glory to Jesus Christ! Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish presents Light of the East, a program revealing how the Eastern Catholic Churches have nourished the Roman Catholic Churches and today's world in profound ways through their histories, traditions, mysteries, and spirituality. Hello, I am Father Thomas J. Loya, pastor of Annunciation of the Mother of God Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois, and this is a story of the Eastern Churches, an inspiring story of faith, courage, intrigue, mystery, spirituality, dissension, and reconciliation. But most of all, this is an expression of a great experience of faith through our unique divine liturgy. Join with me now as we look toward the Light of the East.
Light of the East is also underwritten by a grant from the charitable Koch Foundation, whose vision is to strengthen and propagate the Catholic faith by providing grant support for a wide variety of evangelization efforts. Learn more at KochFoundation.org. Koch spelled K-O-C-H. And Light of the East is also supported by Eastern Christian Publications, where you can find the prayers of the Catholic Byzantine Daily Office at ecpubs.com and easternchristianmedia.com. A broadband network. For you to learn more about the Eastern Catholic Churches, that's easternchristianpublications.com.
Christ is risen. Indeed, he is risen. Welcome to Light of the East. I am Father Thomas Loya, your host. Well into the great, great, glorious season of our Lord's resurrection, the Paschal season, commonly known in the civil spheres as Easter, but actually it is the Paschal season, the Pascha, the new Passover. Jesus Christ is the new Passover. And during this time of the resurrection, what we get a tremendous glimpse of, basically it's more than a glimpse, it's a clinic, it's a workshop. By virtue of Christ's resurrected body, a workshop, a glimpse, a clinic, whatever you want to call it, into the why behind God's plan for creation. The mystical why behind creation itself, including and most especially the human person, and in particular, the human person is man and woman. That's right. You see, the body resurrection is what? It's about physicality, the physical. God takes on the physical, and he does something with it. He redeems it, but also originally, he gave it meaning. Everything in the physical world, in God's created order, reveals, participates in, and points to the heavenly. And this whole plan was corrupted by original sin. And God had this fantastic, beautiful plan for all creation, and most particularly for the human person that he loved so much. And as it got derailed and corrupted by sin, God was not to be deterred. Because of his love, he didn't give up, even though we messed it up for him through the sin of Adam and Eve. God was bound and determined to complete his plan because it was good, and he willed it so, and he willed it to be good. He wanted it to be good just for its own sake, just for goodness sakes, but especially for the human person, that the human person he created would be happy with him in heaven, happy on this earth too. And what he would do then is he would do it himself. He'd come down and do it himself. He would do it in cooperation with his own creation, which is another sign of his great, great love. He would actually invite the very creation, the human person that betrayed him, he would invite the human creature to actually be a partner in their own redemption with him. And that, of course, started with the Blessed Virgin Mary. When we look at this event of Christ's resurrection, it's not just his resurrected body. It's not just, oh, it's Easter, Christ resurrected from the dead, it's Easter bunnies and Easter eggs and so on. It's about the entire explanation, the why behind the entire cosmos, behind everything, yes. And as I said, especially between man and woman, who we are and why, and what this whole physical reality is about, why we have the bodies we do, what they mean. What is their, as St. John Paul II would call it, their theology? All of the real meaning of the physical world is found, rediscovered, retrieved in this event of Christ's resurrection. Now, to understand that, as I always tell my parishioners during my homilies, I always remind them, remember, Jesus Christ was a great setup artist. Every detail in the scripture that you hear or you read when you read your Bible, which I hope you are, every detail is a setup by Christ. What he's doing is he's always doing things or saying things in a way that we hopefully would make the connections of the entire Bible, of the entire plan of salvation, of revelation, that we would know that this Jesus is the guy, so to speak. He is the one. He is the Messiah. He would connect every little detail. And what he would do when his plan for creation, for humanity, was foiled, at least temporarily, he would go back and use the exact same things that were at the beginning and which became corrupted. He would use those very same things to redeem the corruption. That's the miracle. That is part of the grandeur, the glory of the event of Christ's resurrection. Let's look at that for instance. Where did things start? They started in a garden, right? The Garden of Paradise, a Garden of Eden. And God created all things, and he created even trees, a particular tree, a couple particular trees, the tree of life, and also the tree of good and evil, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he told Adam and Eve, whom he eventually created, humanity, in the form of man and woman. Remember, man and woman, not anything else in between or otherwise, male and female, because it reveals God's transcendence and his immanence. The two aspects of God are revealed in the maleness and femaleness, in their mystical meaning. So he chooses and creates them in this way, and he wants them to be happy in that garden. But what happened? Into that garden came death. The garden has since became a tomb, and they were cast out by their sin. And what was that sin? Well, of course, you remember there's a tree, and God told them, you can look at that tree, but don't touch it. But of course, they disobeyed God, and they touched the tree, Eve first, then Adam, touched the fruit of the tree, ate of it, consumed it, took it to themselves, appropriated it. Instead of keeping their hands off of it and looking at it sacramentally, they looked at it as a consumer, as we often do when we lust or envy. It's a view of appropriation rather than sacramentality. Instead of hands open, it's hands clenched and grabbed. That was the mistake. It was Eve's fatal reach, which, of course, Adam then did as well. Now, what happened was the serpent, as you remember in the story, the serpent comes to, that of course is the devil in the disguise of a serpent, he comes to Eve. So the fall begins with Eve. Why with Eve? Well, anytime we have a corruption, we have sin, and this is a good tip for you in terms of your own spirituality. When we sin, always walk the sin back to its origins, which is in something good. It is in something good, the fact that we're made in the image and likeness of God. So why is it that it was Eve who was the first to pick the forbidden fruit? Walk it back. It's because Eve is less than Adam? Women are less than men? No, it's because of a special gift that women have called the gift of receptivity. St. John Paul II called this the genius of womanhood. She is programmed to receive, to take in, to listen. This is why oftentimes spirituality comes a little bit easier, quicker, or more natural to womanhood, because spirituality begins by receiving, listening to God, trusting God, taking God in. That was the great genius of womanhood. It still is. So if Satan, in the person or the disguise as a serpent, is going to want to get at humanity and bring humanity down, he's going to know how God created humanity. So what did he do? He went to the woman. Why? Because the woman, he knew, the devil knew, that the woman had the gift of receptivity. So she would take him in. She would listen to him. She would, as we say in a cliche nowadays, fall for a bad line. And that is the vulnerability of womanhood. Not because they're lesser or weaker or something wrong with them. It's because there's something right with them. It's a gift of receptivity. But that gift becomes fallen. And so now it becomes a vulnerability to fall for a bad line, to be influenced, because woman would be more open to the person than man. So it starts with the woman. It starts with a tree, in other words, wood. Then it goes to the man, Adam, and they're cast out of paradise. We now go from life to death. Now, keep that in mind as we continue on. Now we're going to bring in this event of Christ's resurrection. Christ is crucified on what? A tree. Wood. Wasn't wood the thing that evil and sin came in through in the first place? Yeah. But God is going to take that. As I said, he takes what was his original plan, and he's going to use that same thing and redeem it. So he uses the very instrument, wood, a tree, to redeem the sin that came by way of a tree in the Garden of Paradise in the beginning. And where is that tree? It's where the tree was in the Garden of Paradise, in the middle of the earth, in what we know today is, of course, the Middle East. So Christ mounts that cross and he dies on that cross. In other words, death comes onto him as it did to Adam and Eve when they touched the forbidden tree, the forbidden fruit. Now, once again, we have death on a tree, but that death is going to become redemptive. It's going to be the entrance to new life. So Christ dies on the cross and he's taken down from the cross and he is buried in a tomb, in a garden, in what the church calls the virginal tomb, a virginal tomb. He came into this world in a virginal body, the virginal body of the Virgin Mary. His body now ends this life on earth, at least in this form, temporarily, and he is laid in a virginal tomb. Now, there's a tomb that no one else had been in. Now, he's in the tomb, and he's going to be there, and he, of course, is going to rise from the dead. After he lays in that tomb, and his body lays there dead, but his soul, his spirit, goes to Hades and does the great battle to fight Satan and break the power of Satan and release all the captives and raise up Adam and Eve and all those who could not go to heaven until Christ did the great battle. Then, of course, he's going to rise. Now, he's going to rise on the third day, and that's going to bring us to another significant point of womanhood and Eve. We'll talk about that when we return. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
Every day, Father Loya posts a brief 2-minute Facebook video on the Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish homepage. You'll be amazed at what you can learn just by watching. Light of the East mission is Christianity's reunion and to tell the story of the Eastern lung of the Catholic Church. We need your support. In order to keep Light of the East on the air, you can make a donation now by going to ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com. And then donate securely using any major credit card. With your help, we can keep Light of the East's illumination bright. New from EWTN Publishing. Spiritual Lightning, answering your call from Jesus to master his values by Deacon Richard Eason. St. Paul was struck down by divine power from a bolt of spiritual lightning. In our own lives, we also experience moments of spiritual lightning, whether subtly, dramatically, or circumstantially. Through spiritual anecdotes and inspiring stories, Deacon Eason reveals how to develop strength and courage during times of suffering and ways to obtain healing. He shows you how to garner the benefits of autopilot faith and develop trust in God through prayer, leading to positive transformation, spiritual tranquility, and increased joy and happiness. Spiritual Lightning, answering your call from Jesus to master his values by Deacon Richard Eason. Available now by Catholic. Shop EWTNRC.com.
I'm Mary Fiorito of the Ethics and Public Policy Center and the DeNicola Center for Ethics and Culture, and you are listening to Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
Welcome back to Light of the East. I'm Father Thomas Loya, your host. And again, I say to you, Christ is risen. And you say back to me, what is it? Hey, good, you're listening. Indeed, he is risen. Very good. That is our greeting throughout this Paschal season. Now, we came to the point when Christ is going to rise from the tomb. Now, he rises from the tomb, and the first persons to see him resurrected are women. And by the way, on the cross, As he was dying, he looks down at his mother and does not call her mother. He calls her Eve. Woman, that's the name for Eve. Woman, behold your son, meaning St. John, the young St. John, the youngest apostle, only apostle standing at the cross as Christ was dying in his moment of need. All the others ran away. He says, woman, behold your son, son, behold your mother. So here we have now on the cross the mystical new Adam, Christ, and the new Eve, the Virgin Mary. And together they reconceive the human race mystically. You have to think mystically on the nuptial bed of the cross. Yes, it is his earthly mother, but she also now has another role, another layer of her existence, and that is that she is now also his bride. She represents the bride of Christ, the new Eve. So Christ is going to appear to woman. So woman is now going to receive, these either myrrh-bearing women. This is the day that we celebrate in the Byzantine calendar today. If you're especially a Byzantine church on the Gregorian calendar, the Orthodox still are not there yet. They will catch up because they're on the Julian calendar. But the Eastern Catholic churches, most of them are on the Gregorian calendar. So in the Gregorian calendar, in the Byzantine liturgical calendar, today is the Sunday of the myrrh-bearing women, with a couple men thrown in there. Oftentimes call it Ladies' Day in the Byzantine church. But there are a couple men thrown in. We'll get to them in a second. So he appears to the women. And what's happening there? Think back to the Garden of Eden. The women are the first to hear of a good line. You see what Christ did? He took woman who fell for a bad line from the devil. He's going to take womanhood again, redeem it. Let them be the ones that will hear the good line, the ultimate line, that Christ is resurrected. And it will come from Christ himself, not a message from a serpent, from the devil. And he tells them to go and tell the apostles. Now, this is significant. He told the apostles to go forth and teach all nations. He didn't say that to the women. He told the women, basically, to go to the home, to the family, to the heart, to the nucleus, because that is the gift of womanhood. They bring the heart to things, and they bring the heart to things that are proximate. Womanhood has its greatest gifts in what we call proximity, in relationality, in the home, in closeness, and so on. Men are designed more to go outward. They're more external, even in the structural language of their bodies. Womanhood is more internal, more concentric, more imminent, drawing things close together, accommodating the environment, bringing things in relationship, bringing the heart to it. So this is where Jesus tells them to go. Go to the heart, go to the home, go to the family. Tell the family first about the resurrection of Christ. So you see, Jesus takes the original gift of womanhood. It becomes fallen from original sin, but then he takes that same gift and redeems it, brings womanhood back to their original glory by hearing the most precious, glorious news. They heard it first, just as Eve heard the bad news first from the devil in the garden. They hear it first, and they take it to the heart, to the home. Now, the apostles, being like men, like guys, were, well, they just thought, as the scripture itself says, they thought that the women were just talking nonsense. They didn't believe. See, manhood is not as receptive. Manhood by nature is more skeptical. Now, is that because men are lesser? No. It's not about lesser or better in terms of the sexes, male and female. That's the great mistake our world makes. They always are making a battle out of the sexes. Who's better? Who's superior? Are they equal, male and female? They're always putting them at odds against each other. That is not the way of God. They are different. They have their particular gifts, which, because of sin, have a fallen side. But they are equal in their dignity, just different in their gifts. So the man is more skeptical because the man is more for protection, for kind of seeing that snake in the grass, which Adam failed to do. And that's why God came to him after the fall. Where were you? You were supposed to see the snake in the grass. You're the one that's got the skepticism that's used for protection and defense. But here, the men are skeptical. So they go to the tomb, Peter and John, and they look in, and they have to see for themselves. And they go home, they go back home, and they still don't understand what happened. They have to do as men do. They have to go into solitude and process, then work it out with other men, figure it out. And finally, they do figure it out. Eventually, they do see Christ eventually in person, but not until long after the women saw him in person. So the men are skeptical, but they eventually believe. But we back up for a minute here. When Christ was taken down from the cross and laid in the tomb, the women were there. The only ones that were there, other than St. John, were the women, faithful in relationship to Christ, even in his seemingly weakest moment. The women are still there, loyal, in relationship to their Christ. But there are a couple of men of honor and dignity, and that was Joseph and Nicodemus. And they take Christ down from the cross and lay him in this virginal tomb. Now, another detail from Christ the Setup Artist. Who carried Christ to safety when he was a child? A man named Joseph. Who took his precious body and protected it and gave it honor and dignity at his death? Another Joseph. Laid him again in the cave, a tomb, just as he came into this world when he was born as a baby. And Joseph would take that body of Jesus, that infant pure body, and take it to safety when those evil people, Herod and so on, wanted to kill the Christ child. Now Christ is killed. His body has been killed by the jealous ones, like Herod was when Christ was born. But what happens now? A Joseph carries that body to safety. The safety and the honor of a virginal cave, anointing it quickly with spices. They weren't done because they had to take the body down very quickly. That's why the women came back the next day on Sunday to find out that Christ had rose. And they came back carrying the ointments of burial. That's why they're called the myrrh-bearing women, why we honor them today. So are you making the connections here? Do you see what I mean by Jesus being the great setup artist? He sets things up by dropping hints, but mostly by going back to the beginning. He wastes nothing. He wastes nothing. The tree becomes instrument of sin. Human beings chose to sin. Everything got corrupted. He didn't throw it away. He didn't waste it. He kept it. And he would choose those very things again, only now they would be redeemed. From the tree to the garden to a tomb to a man to a woman. Everything would be used, retrieved, and used and redeemed for its original purpose and plan, only taken even higher now. So we have the new Eve, the new Adam. We have the women who receive a good and glorious message and take it to heart, rather than the Eve that took a bad message to heart and thus started the downfall of all creation of God's plan. And God, as I mentioned, was not to be discouraged or outdone. He would have his plan completed. We see in Christ's resurrection, by taking on physicality, just as he did at his incarnation, his birth, his coming to earth in the flesh, we see once again the elevation, the infusion of holiness into creation, now into the human body. And when Christ appears in his post-resurrectional appearances, we have a very, very graphic, palpable, and significant presentation in each story of the post-resurrection stories of Christ and his body. We had it last Sunday with Thomas, who touched the body of Jesus. So what would happen is Jesus would always appear in a way that they did not always recognize him at first, because he had a body, but it was perfected. It was spiritualized. It could go through closed doors like a spirit or a ghost, but yet there was the physical body. What does that tell us? What was Jesus demonstrating to us? He was anticipating how we will be, his plan for us in the end of time, when our bodies too will rise up again and be reunited with our souls, reunited with our souls again, only this time will be integrated, intact. We will be spiritualized, not just spiritual, spiritualized. We will have this body, but it'll be glorious. It'll be elevated in some way beyond what we know it to be on this earth while we live in this fallen world, just as it was with Jesus Christ. So the resurrection of Jesus' body, the fact that it's the body, draws our focus to the significance of the physical world in God's plan of salvation. Because the physical world was terribly harmed when the spiritual part fell, when Adam and Eve's spirituality went bad, so did the cosmos, so did creation, so did their very bodies, and yours and mine. It's why we get sick and die and get old and wrinkly and so on. It's why everything ages and dies and decays on this earth, because of original sin. So Jesus taking on that body, raising it up, is reaffirming God's original beautiful plan for the sanctity of creation, the sanctity of earth, how it actually participates in heaven, and how it will, in the end of time, when Jesus Christ does as he did with his own resurrected body, make all things new. Thank you for listening. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East. Christ is risen.
To hear Light of the East again, visit ByzantineCatholic.com and click on the Features and Programs tab and on iTunes. Thank you for listening to Light of the East. We encourage you to tell a friend about Light of the East and to visit ByzantineCatholic.com. Light of the East is produced by ADC Media.
News from around the world as it happens. Religious liberty, immigration, prayer, plus daily reports from the White House, Capitol Hill, and Rome. Get the Catholic news perspective on the things that impact your life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Thank you for listening. Next week, we will return to the Light of the East. To learn more about Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, visit our website, ByzantineCatholic.com, where you will also find an archive of all of our programs. In order to continue Light of the East with its mission of Christianity's reunion, we need your support with a donation. Any amount will be a blessing. Please make out a check to Light of the East Radio and send it to Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. That's Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, spelled WILL-COOK Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Or donate online on the homepage of ByzantineCatholic.com. From the Light of the East, a new dawn of unity is in sight. God bless you, go with God, and may God grant you many happy years.